In that number, don't you? Praise the Lord. I believe the church is going to be victorious according to the word of the Lord. Amen. We don't have to be worried about the events of life, the unfolding dramatic events of end time. There's going to be a church triumphant according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, a number that no man can number. I just want to be part of that glorious number. Amen. That leaves this world and enters that glorious city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. How many be all right if it just happened tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm ready to go, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not planning on staying here any longer than I have to. Amen. As soon as we're allowed to leave this world, amen, I want to go see Jesus. Man, what a time that's going to be. Amen. You just sit and think about it sometimes? I do. Boy, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it? How long it's going to be. It's infinite. How great he is going to be. He's divine. Man, what a time. I don't want to miss it. And I believe you don't either. That's why you're in the house of the Lord tonight. And God, stir our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Amen. I don't believe it's a fairy tale, do you? Amen. I believe it is an actual event. The first time he came as a babe, but he's coming again. I want to be ready. Amen. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Thank both of you. If the rest of you are ready, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young fellas, you ready? Got some work to do, don't I? Amen. Take your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, starting at verse number 13. Acts, the first chapter. Wednesday night, we started a journey through the book of Acts and talked about the faith of the early church, how they believed in the appearance of Christ after the resurrection, that they were so convinced that he was the true Son of God, that when he ascended, they knew the will of God for their life. And the many infallible proofs that they witnessed, it propelled them to begin to share the gospel and to work for the Lord. Some have said Jesus was an imposter. He was a masquerade. He was a kind of a sect leader. But I know this, that when he ascended, if those disciples would not have believed in who he was, they just would have went back home, got their jobs, and went on with their life. But they so believed in who he was. We're going to look at the next steps that they take tonight, and they take the steps that are in direct obedience to the Son of God. They so believed in who he was, they fulfilled the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Are you that convinced tonight of who Jesus is? Amen. I've told you many times, you can mention the name of God and be politically correct, but you start talking about your faith in Jesus Christ, and brother and sister, amen, every imp of hell begins to work. And that ecumenical spirit of end time where let's all get along, and yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Pentecostal, we can all worship together. Not me, friend. We're not even worshiping the same God. I know we can't worship together. Amen. The Bible tells me to be around those of like-minded, precious faith. Amen. I appreciate God's word tonight. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James." He's also known as Thaddeus in other writings of the Gospels. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Verse number 17 concerning Judas, they are going to replace Judas. The Bible says concerning him, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Verse number 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. It's hard to imagine a Bible reader not knowing the next verse in your Bible, isn't it? I mean, chapter 2 and verse number 1 just kind of draws our attention, but we're not there yet. I want to preach to you from this first chapter, preparing for Pentecost. And I will readily admit tonight, the text that I read does not have the pizzazz of chapter number 2. But they had to get some things in order. They had to obey part of what Jesus told them to do before the second chapter takes place. Because what did the Bible say concerning the Holy Ghost? He is given to those that obey him. Amen. I'd love for Pentecost to be repeated, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. How many believe Pentecost is still available to us tonight? Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated. Preparing for Pentecost. I want to talk to you about this early church. They were three things tonight in this text. They were a waiting church. The Bible also tells us that they were a worshiping church. And then by the latter part of this text in this chapter, they are once again a working church. Jesus tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait. Don't begin the commission until you've been endued with power from on high. That he wanted this early church to be founded upon the power and the Spirit of God. Amen. What did the ancient prophet say? It's not by might and it is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. How else could we explain 120 disciples in Jerusalem turning the world, the Palestinian region, upside down? Scholars estimates between somewhere of 600,000 to 700,000 to some 4 million people living in that Palestinian region at this time. Any way you slice it, whether you take the low number or the high number, 120 is not many compared to 600,000 or several million. But with the power and the Spirit of God, I mean, think about it tonight. There's more people in this room than in that initial outpouring of Pentecost. That's amazing to me that 120 people so endued with the power of God turned the world upside down and started a movement that you and I are still part of tonight. I don't believe they were wishy-washy. I don't believe they were complacent, confused, or calloused, but set on fire by the fire of the Lord. God, do it for us again. God, baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. I mean, we've got good singing, don't we? Don't we? I would say we've got as good as you can get. We've got good singing. I mean, you enjoy those padded pews? I'm not going to ask you if you got good preaching, but I do know this. It's usually 30 minutes or less. That at least deserves an amen. Because I can tell when somebody comes in 45 minutes. I mean, you're just spoiled. I mean, it's hard for you to take it. I mean, we've got a wonderful church. I mean, God has blessed us abundantly. It's amazing those that visit with us and the facilities that we have. The fellowship hall in and of itself, first class. First class. I mean, a commercial grade kitchen. I mean, Paula Deen would probably like that kitchen, wouldn't she? Right, Becky? I mean, it is nice. You ever been to some other camp meetings where you got to wait 90 minutes in the hot sun to get cold food? Right? I mean, we're blessed. We've got so much to be thankful for. But in this end time, none of that can replace the power and the Spirit of God operating in our heart and our life. None of that is a substitute. It is not a trade-off. Well, we've got good singing, but we don't have the moving of the Spirit of God. Or we've got nice facilities, but we don't have the moving of the Spirit of God. All those things in and of itself are wonderful because I think they bring glory and honor to the Lord. I think we should take care of the house of God, and everything that we do, both personally and privately, it reflects our relationship with the Lord. But above all of that, friend, you and I must know that the prophet had it right, that it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And these first century disciples understood that. They had the knowledge. They had the reasoning. They had witnessed the miracles, and they had walked with Jesus, and they knew his miracle working power, but they still had to be endued with the power and the Spirit of the Lord. And so the Bible said they went back to Jerusalem to wait. They are a waiting church, which shows us they're obedient to the Lord. The Holy Ghost is given to those who obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I've sacrificed for the Lord. You wouldn't believe what I did to have to get to church tonight. You wouldn't believe what I've done for the Lord, but obedience is better than sacrifice. They were a waiting church. I think it's interesting to note the Bible says that they all journeyed back to Jerusalem. They lost no one. These men had their minds so made up. They were so steadfast and sold out. Notice the word of the Lord describes for us a few of the names that are there. The original 11 are there. The women are there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there, which is interesting. This is the last notation of her in Scripture. She is not mentioned in the epistles. For those Catholic friends of ours that believe that Mary has anything to do with our salvation, this is the end of her notation in Scripture. She is never found in the epistles. The theology that we need her or to pray to her is not woven into the canon of Scripture. Even though she was privileged to be the mother of Jesus, she herself needed to be saved and had to follow the same steps that all of the other disciples did as well. And I think it is extremely important to realize that. But notice who else is there. His brethren. This is one of the first references, if not the first, that we have that he finally won his brethren to the Lord. Because the Bible says that his own brothers would not receive him. The Bible said that his own family rejected him. His brothers would not receive him. But somewhere during that 40-day period of the resurrection and his ascension, his brothers get on board. You know, you don't need everybody in your corner before you can stand for the Lord or know what God has done in your heart and your life. Not everybody is going to be excited you get saved. Not everybody in your family is going to just do somersaults that you're on fire for God. They're going to look at you cross-eyed and wonder what in the world's going on in your life. Not everybody is going to pat you on the back and say, go for God and do something for the Lord. But how many knows if you're faithful to God, if you'll stay the course, even at the end when you think it might be too late, there are some that are going to come on in, amen, to the household of faith and Jesus. Jesus's brothers are part of those. They were a worshiping church. The Bible said that they continued in one accord in prayer, that they were persevering, that they were moving forward. They were a continuing church. God, let it be one more time that we are a continuing church, that we are no longer building monuments and saying, look what we have done, but God, help us to see what we are doing. Amen. That God is a God that is alive. He's a God that wants to move in the midst of his people and in the midst of his church, that he still saves. Thank God for the way that he's been moving in the house of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is still alive, that he's still breathing fresh life into his church? Amen. That all that are the joy of the Lord, that it can remain constant, that our worship can still be fervent, that we can walk in the newness of life, that our walk with God does not have to get stale or stagnated. Amen. But we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The fire of the Holy Ghost and the power of God is still real. Amen. That's why Paul told the Ephesian church, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. But it has the idea of being filled once with continuing results. Amen. Paul said, be filled and keep on being filled. Amen. Friend, that's the prayer of these disciples as they moved forward. Amen. They continued on. They were a persevering church. Amen. They were persevering amidst persecution, ridicule. Amen. They were persecuted. They were ostracized. Amen. But they were continuing on because they were sold out, knowing what God had promised he was going to do. But they were in one accord. They were purposed in their heart. There's one thing on our mind. They were all headed in the same direction. They were all going to Jerusalem. There was no fussing. There was no fighting. They were all going the same direction. If we all go the same direction, it's pretty easy, isn't it? Really is. If every one of us tonight said, I want to go to Jerusalem to be refilled with the Spirit, it'd be easy to pastor. I just have to get out of the way. Let it ride. But you know what? The Bible says we're sheep. And sheep are prone to wander. But there's 120. I mean, watch them on their journey to the upper room. They made a beeline back, because they needed that power from the Lord. They needed that endowment. They needed that Spirit. They had to have the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost. You won't understand holiness unless you're anointed by the Spirit of God, because it just becomes legalism. It becomes a bunch of do's and don'ts. You really can't worship God and have the fervency of the joy of the Lord in your heart without the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. And friend, this is what I enjoy about serving the Lord, that it's more than just Bible studies and outlines. I enjoy the moving of the Spirit of God in my life. Amen. I enjoy the presence of God. Amen. That unction, that moving of the Spirit of God, that Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send a comforter in my stead. And just what Jesus did in the lives of the disciples, so the Spirit of God does in our life. And thank God, how many of you been on the job before and you felt the Spirit of God just begin to move in your life? Amen. You're driving down the road and you felt the divine glory of God. Amen. You've been doing something else and a song popped in your heart. You just began to praise the name of the Lord. I say, oh God, thank you. That is more than just creeds and customs. That is more than just doctrines and do's and don'ts. But I enjoy enjoy the presence of God. Amen. I enjoy knowing that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I'm glad we've been bought with the price, that we're not our own anymore, but that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, friend, tonight, amen, they had their mind set. We need the power of the Spirit of God. When you love for every one of us to say, oh God, amen, I need to update my experience in you. Amen, I need a fresh infilling. I need more anointing. Lord, I need fire to fall in my heart and my life again. Anybody in this house on a Sunday night, you'd say, God, I don't need to go another day. I don't need to go another week, but God, I need fresh fire in my life. They're a worshiping church. God, help us be a worshiping church. That they're continuing in prayer and supplication. They're in one accord. They're continuing. If Pentecost means 50 and Jesus showed himself alive for 40 days, then there is a 10-day span from the time when Jesus ascended on the Mount of Olives until Acts 2 and 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And for that 10 days, they're waiting and worshiping, waiting for a move of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you this. How content are you to have church without a move of the Spirit of God? How content are you? There is a vast majority of the church world in our holiness churches that would go through the motions, sing the same songs, and do everything the same, even if the Spirit of God never moved. Are you content to do that? I mean, think about it. Stressed out, struggling, depressed, falling apart, and just going through the motions. I think the Spirit of God can help us in this end time, don't you? I don't remember people being talking about being stressed out when I was a kid as much as they do now. I don't remember it. So I don't know what's different now. What's different now? I don't know. Could it be that we're more dependent upon ourselves and not the Spirit of the Lord? Could it be that we're fighting more things in the flesh and not in the Spirit? Because I'll be honest, when the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart and my life, makes me forget about just about everything else. It don't matter how bad your knees hurt. It don't matter if you got a headache. If you can feel the Spirit of the Lord for a little while, it just seems like everything goes away, does it not? That's why the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. And so the dangerous part of holiness is this, that if we don't think we've changed the standard, we've not changed. That if our sleeve length stays the same and the hair looks the same, we don't feel like we've changed, even though we might have lost the moving of the Spirit. That's the danger of holiness. And that's what I don't want in my life. Because the reason that we have the attribute of holiness in our life is because we are not trying to get to know God, but because we do know God. And he is manifesting himself in our life. It is his characteristic that is breaking forth in our life. And it's not do's and don'ts so I can sing in the choir, or do's and don'ts so I can go to this church. It is the image and the glory of God that is being manifested in my life. And if now all I'm doing is what I used to do, but now not because it's the Spirit of God, now I've really just become a legalist. Now I'm in control, or I'm just conforming to the law. But oh God, I want the power of the glory of God, amen, to direct my steps and direct my thoughts and direct my life, that when this world is over and I stand before the Lord, I can hear him say, well done, amen. When there's young people that are anointed by the Spirit of God and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, they don't have to say, because my preacher said, or it's because what the church does, or that's just the way mama raised me, but it's the Spirit of God that begins to illuminate and reveal his word in our heart and our life, that we are a city that is set on a hill, that we are to come out and be separate, saith the Lord, that there are things that we do not touch because they are unclean, and there's ways that we talk and think because it is the Spirit of God operating in our life, and not because I'm trying to conform to a system or to a creed or a custom, but it is the Spirit of God that is the same in generation after generation. That's why when granddaddy got on his face before God, God said holiness was right. And when my dad began to see God, God stamped holiness on his heart and his life. And when 17 years old I was and praying for God in my life, he put convictions there that will not change, that do not alter, regardless of what state, regardless of what culture, regardless of what country I'm in. It is thus saith the word of the Lord, and it is because of the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. People change, nation change, but oh, the Spirit of God. Amen. I believe we need God now more than we've ever needed him before. Holiness will always be in style with God because he is the Spirit of holiness. You'll never find in God's word where God says, I'll save you, now live any way that you want to. Show me that in God's word. Show me in God's word where it says you're saved, but now you're still own to, you're still your own to live and to do what you will. But you're bought with the price. Now you're not even your own anymore. The life that I now live in Christ, I'm dead in Christ, but I live by the faith in the Son of God. I'm bought, I'm his. I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost. And friend, I'm not going to buy a watered down, lukewarm gospel that tickles the ears of this end time church. The Bible tells me there is an end time falling away. Who's falling away? Somebody's falling away. Tell me where they're at. There's got to be a falling away somewhere. So tell me where they're at. I'll tell you where they're at. Where they're seekers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's where they love themselves more than they love God. Amen, friend. Those of us that are trying to live closer to God than we've ever done, when we're still living separated, when we still don't cuss and chew, and we still try to be sanctified, and we're faithful to our wives, and our minds are pure, and we speak forth the things of God, I got news for you. We might be ridiculed, we might get criticized, we might get made fun of, but that's all right. When I get down before God, it doesn't take me very long until that Spirit of God begins to speak in my life, and he stamps his approval upon my life, and I know he has accepted my sacrifice of praise. And friend, there is no substitute for the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. You're not at home watching football tonight, you're in the house of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Witnessing to a fellow the other day, and I knew where he went to church, and he used to be holiness. I saw him on a Monday, and I said, was you running the aisles last night at your church? I knew he didn't have church on Sunday night. We don't have church on Sunday night. What do you mean you don't have church on Sunday night? Well, they just can't get anybody to come back. Now, do you really think that's somebody that sounds like they're bought with a price? Does that sound like somebody who's owned by the Lord? That we're not our own? Amen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. It sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, just squeeze it down to 16 minutes on Sunday morning. Amen, live any way that you want to. Do anything that you want to. Amen, all do, just say it, live it. Amen, just claim it, it's all right. I mean, that appeals to the flesh. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. The generation of these young people in America,
back. Oh God, they're the ones that have paid the price, because they do not know what it feels like to feel God. They don't know the moving of the Spirit of God. They know what it's like to gyrate and jick and jive and be listening to a bunch of headbangers on the platform try to gyrate them into some emotion, but to feel the Shekinah glory of God that I felt as a little baby sleeping in a Pentecostal church, and that endued me with power as a teenager, and the fire of God that I feel in this house tonight, they don't know it. I said they've paid the price, but as for me, oh God, amen, give me more of that anointing. Give me more of that fire and more of the power of the Spirit of God, and let me feel Pentecost one more time. Oh, hallelujah. I know. Well, it doesn't say you got to go to church on Sunday night. I know. It doesn't say you got to go to church on Wednesday night. But you know what? There are people that have their favorite TV show every night of the week. And they're going to spend a couple hours every night watching their favorite TV shows. And they make time. They make the kids go in the other room so they're not disturbed, because they're glued to that thing. They've got to find out what's going on. And you and I, we're bought with a price. We're owned by the Lord. And we can give him a few minutes on Wednesday night to allow his Spirit to come by. Are we really bought with the price? Are we really owned by the Lord? Or are we operating in the flesh? What are you talking about, preacher? We still have long sleeves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, does he control our life? Does the Spirit of God give you peace, or are you full of anxiety and worry and stressed out? This generation seems to be in a hurry to get somewhere, and they don't know where they're going. You find grandma, she's on a cane, she's stressed out. You find Johnny, a third year kid in college, and he's popping pills because he's stressed out. Everybody's stressed out about something, but nobody can tell you why. The antidote, take us back where it all began. Take me back where the church started. Our finest hour was our first hour. There was persecution and ridicule, and they were ostracized. Oh, take us back. Take me back. The Bible tells us they're a working church as well, because now they've got to replace Judas. This is sad, isn't it, friend? There's not one person in this place that we're glad somebody backslides. Doesn't it tear your heart out? People that I've visited in dire situations. People that I've been to see them in jail. Been in hospitals, different facilities. They've been in the court systems. They've been to lawyers and knowing at one time they held the glory of God. The Bible says that Judas had obtained part of this ministry. He held it. He had it. And he let it go. There are those that will tell you that he was never saved. He was never saved. The Bible says that he obtained part of this ministry. The Bible says that by transgression, let me ask you this, by transgression, what implication is there? If I am unfaithful to my wife, what does that imply? I'm married. If he transgressed, he had to be saved, or there is no transgression. Does that make sense?
If he wasn't saved, he couldn't transgress. Besides the fact it said by his transgression he fell. What did he fall from? How can you fall from sin? You don't fall from sin, you fall from grace. He backslid. The Bible said that he went out and he hung himself. The price that he had for selling Jesus, hear me, young people, hear me. Hear me tonight. He sold Jesus for the price of a wounded slave. A few pieces of silver. He sold Jesus. The devil will try to make sure that you sell out Jesus for something. Just because you're here tonight doesn't mean you will not sell out Jesus. Judas was taking care of the money bag. Judas was a disciple of the Lord. Judas had obtained the ministry. Judas was a saved man. But if you've got a price tag, the devil will find your price tag. If you're willing to serve God, but you're willing maybe to, well, if I could just get a boyfriend or if I could just get a girlfriend, I'd make some changes in my life. The devil will find that price tag. Well, I want to be faithful to the house of God, but I might make some concessions if the money's right. The devil will find that price tag. He'll find that price tag. But don't ever let it leave your mind. Judas had a hold of the money. The Bible said something begins to happen in his life. The guilt, the shame, but I'm more than that, I believe the emptiness. He loses that anointing. He loses that place in God. His soul is now empty, and he looks and he's got 30 pieces of silver. And he begins to think, I sold Jesus for this. I had that, but now I've got this. The same way young people that I've tried to keep serving God would have none of it. But at the end, when the devil got done with them, there they were, having everything the devil had to offer, but they were still broken. They were still empty. They were still humiliated. They were full of shame. They were full of guilt. They were looking for something. And in that same bitter moment, Judas comes back to them, and he slams that money down, and he runs out. And the Bible says that he commits suicide as he hangs himself, and there are those jingling coins, and they look and say, what are we going to do with this? They take the money and they buy a field, and they call it the field of blood, and they bury strangers in it, and for generations to come, men travel by that field, and they say, why do they call that the field of blood? And they said, well, there was a disciple of the Lord by the name of Judas, who was a preacher, but he backslid and he sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But he was so overcome with guilt, he couldn't stand it, and he killed himself. And that field was bought with the money that he paid off Jesus with. Oh God, tonight, the young people that can parade before us as examples that the devil snatched out of our midst, and the devil has ruined their life. But I come to tell somebody in this place tonight, not to be another Judas, not to be another traitor, that the devil does not have anything that can replace the anointing of the Spirit of
of God, the devil does not have anything that can replace the glory of God. That when you're standing in the choir and you feel God and you feel that anointing, he doesn't have anything that can compare to that. When you stand on a platform and you pledge your love one to another in sickness and in health, in death do us part, and you're faithful and you love one another, the world, they don't have that. Don't sell it out. Don't sell it out. Because here's the cruel thing. See, nobody can take your place, really. But we're going to have to. Judas? Why? But at the end of the chapter, Matthias and Barsabbas, somebody's got to take Judas's place. You know, the tough thing about ministry is dealing with the battles that never had to occur in the first place. This incident is one that should have never occurred. We should never had to replace Judas. Do you want anybody to replace you? Think about some of those voices. Think about if we had every backslider from the last 25, 30 years filled up nothing. This church would be sitting in the foyer down that hall, packed on the platform. Let's work to get them back. But let's make a covenant here tonight. None of us are going to sell out Jesus. Let's purpose in our heart right now. Let's purpose in our heart right now. I'm not selling out Jesus. Young people, hear me. I'm not selling him out. Regardless of what the devil offers, I'm not selling out Jesus. Regardless of what he tells me he's going to do for me, I'm not going to sell out Jesus. And it's a tough day to be a teenager. It's a tough day to be a young person in our country to try to be pure and stay modest. There's a lot of pressure on you. The devil's going to try to get you to sell out. But Lord, I'm not going to sell out for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm not going to sell out for a new job. I'm not going to sell out for any. I'm not selling out. I believe you can get to the point where you mean it in the depths of your soul. And no matter what the devil does, through the grace of God, you can stand. Sad. Two more minutes, and this is something I think that's important in church work. The Bible tells us they cast lots. They voted. This is the last vote in God's word. When we step into the book of Acts, chapter number 2, something changes in the way the church is going to be ran. It is no longer a Old Testament kingdom-styled principled church. But now, the Holy Ghost speaks and begins to operate and direct the affairs of the church and says, separate unto me, Barnabas. Now the Holy Ghost. Now we have to rely on the Spirit of God. See, in Acts 1, they're casting lots. There's a great debate. Should Paul have been the 12th? Did they miss it? Did they do it early? You and I can never settle that question. I feel like they did as they should have done. Acts 2, I think, vindicates and shows the approval of God on the first chapter. But it's going to be so important for me and you to hear what saith the Lord. What's God speaking to the church? What's God speaking to the church?
Because so many, Brother Flanders told me one time, he said he's never seen a church vote that didn't cause people to leave the church. Isn't that amazing? He's never seen a church vote. And so this is the transition. This is the changing to where now the Spirit of God becomes the conductor. So it is of dire importance that you and I hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because we can't sit back and just formulate it in our mind and say, here's what I think we need to do. We need God. We've got to have the Lord. We've got to have God. Because if you and I could always come up with the plans, if you and I could always come up with the answers, we don't need the Lord. But sometimes the Lord will do things so different. That way you and I never take the credit. You and I can never take the glory. March around the walls of Jericho. Go down to the fish and the tax money will be in its mouth. He does things different every time. So nobody gets the credit. But church, hear me. If we're going to be a church that sees the glory of God and moves forward, it's going to have to be because we hear the Spirit of the Lord. It's important we pray through. I can't emphasize this enough right now. Because I got so many stories I could tell you of people that messed up because they just wouldn't listen. What was God saying? Thus saith the Spirit of the Lord. We're getting ready to go into Acts chapter 2. Not tonight, relax. But they had to get things in order. I believe God wants an organized, ordered church. Some chaotic, discombobulated thing doesn't bring glory to God. But young people, hear me. Don't sell out Jesus. Don't sell him out. Those pieces of silver are going to seem so empty in a few hours. That one thing you've got to have, it's going to lose its glitter. That one thing you're saying. I just really feel the Lord, right? I know we're not shouting, but I'm just telling you. You better, if everybody's hearing something different than what you're hearing, you better make sure you're hearing the right thing. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people that are hearing from God and you're hearing something different, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful. And I just feel a young person here tonight. I really do. I'm so far from my notes, but don't sell out Jesus. Don't sell him out. Because there's nothing the world has that's going to satisfy. Once you've tasted of the heavenly gift, there's just nothing. I don't care the party. I don't care the thrill. I don't care the drink, the drug. I don't care the girl, the boy. I don't care. It doesn't last. It just doesn't last. And the higher he takes you, the devil will make sure that's how low you're going to go. Because he takes you up so he can take you down. And he doesn't leave you up when the season of pleasure is over. He leaves you empty and broken, humiliated and alone, full of guilt and shame. The Lord comes to give us life, but the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. So I really want to urge somebody here tonight, you need to hang on. You need to hold steady. Because you're getting ready to sell out Jesus. And you're going to be just like Judas and bring it back. I wish I never would have. Father, I thank you for this congregation tonight.